Welcome to this deep dive. Today, we're getting into the ethical side of the insurance world.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some pretty detailed course materials to work from. And really, our mission is to pull out those core ethical principles and, importantly, why they matter, not just for the pros, but for you, trying to figure out insurance for yourself or your business.
Absolutely. Because, you know, if you're dealing with insurance at all, understanding the ethics behind it gives you a really valuable perspective on what agents are doing, what their responsibilities are.
Right.
And insurance, fundamentally, it's a promise. It's often called a contract of utmost good faith. That word trust, it's right there from the start.
Okay, trust. Let's dig into that a bit. It's not just one simple thing, is it? The mm-hmm. materials mentioned, it works on, well, several different levels.
That's right. You've got the trust between you, the client, and the agent.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the agent's trust in the insurance company, the carrier.
Okay.
And then broader still, the public's trust in the whole industry and even trust within the regulations themselves.
Wow, yeah.
So if that trust breaks down anywhere along the line, the consequences can be pretty significant.
And the fallout from ethical slip-ups, like our sources show, it can be really serious.
Yeah.
For clients, you might face financial loss, maybe not having the right cover when you desperately need it. That causes huge stress. Right?
Huge stress, yeah. Emotional, financial distress.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop there. The impact ripples outwards.
Affecting the agents and the industry, too.
Definitely. For an agent, we're talking losing their license, their job, maybe legal trouble, a ruined reputation.
Yeah.
A heavy ethical weight to carry.
Yeah.
And for the industry. Well, you often see regulators stepping in more, higher compliance costs, public distrust making people wary.
And political pressure, I imagine.
Exactly. Political pressure for more rules, more oversight.
The materials even point to those life insurance churning scandals back in the 80s and 90s. A really stark example.
I would add.
Billions it cost the industry. Public confidence just plummeted.
It's a powerful reminder. But what's interesting is, while avoiding all that negative stuff is a big motivator, the materials also talk about a positive business case for ethics.
Right. It's not just about dodging bullets. It's about building something positive.
Precisely.
Ah.
They mentioned a stat, I think, from the American College of Financial Services.
Yes, something like 37% higher client retention for advisors using fiduciary-like standards. That's significant.
It really is. And then you add in more referrals, agents feeling better about their work, less chance of getting sued, longer careers.
So doing the right thing is actually the smart thing, too, long term.
Seems that way. It's good business, fundamentally.
Uh-huh.
And to help agents navigate this, especially when things get tricky, the course introduces a few different ethical frameworks, ways of thinking about ethical problems.
Okay, frameworks, like guiding principles?
Sort of, yeah. Not rigid rules, but different lenses to view ethical challenges through.
Got it. So let's look at some. First one mentioned is utilitarianism. Greatest good for the greatest number. How does that play out in insurance?
Well, think about recommending a product. A utilitarian view might ask, which option creates the best overall outcome for everyone involved?
Okay.
Maybe there's a product with a slightly higher commission for the agent, but it genuinely offers better benefits that fit most of their clients' needs better than a cheaper alternative.
Uh-huh.
Utilitarianism would weigh that slightly higher cost against the greater overall benefit for the majority. The ethical choice is the one maximizing overall well-being.
Makes sense. Looking at the big picture consequences, then there's deontology, duty-based ethics. That sounds different. More about the action itself.
Exactly. Deontology is all about duties, rules, obligations. Agents have duties to clients, to their company, to the public.
Right.
So even if an agent thought, maybe fudging a small detail might help a client get coverage they really need, deontology would say no. Misrepresenting something violates a fundamental duty regardless of the outcome.
So honesty is a core duty there.
It is. Upholding principles, meeting your obligations, that's the focus.
And the third one is virtue ethics. This seems to focus less on rules or outcomes and more on the agent's character.
Spot on. Virtue ethics is about cultivating traits like honesty, fairness, diligence, prudence, being a good ethical professional.
So an example might be?
Maybe an agent spends a lot of extra time with a client who has a really complex situation, not because some rule says they have to or because it guarantees a sale.
But because being thorough and committed to the client's understanding is just what a good agent does.
Precisely. It's about who you are as a professional, your integrity.
Well, these frameworks are a good foundation, but okay, real world. An agent hits an ethical gray area. how do they actually figure out what to do? The materials give a practical model for that, right?
Yes, a pretty useful five-step process. First, you got to clearly identify what the actual ethical issue is.
Step one, okay.
Second, gather all the relevant facts, get the full picture.
Right.
Third, think through the different options you have. What are the alternatives? What can happen with each one?
Makes sense.
Fourth, make your decision based on that ethical analysis. And fifth, this is important, reflect on it afterwards. What happened? What did you learn?
Okay. Identify, gather info, consider alternatives, decide, reflect. And there's a case study to show how this works. Something about a policy approved by mistake.
Yeah, exactly. An agent finds out a policy was approved for someone with a health condition that should have meant a decline. The client doesn't know. The policy is active. Now what?
Okay, applying the model. Step one, identify the ethical issue. What's the conflict here?
Well, it's a clash, isn't it? Honesty and transparency versus the client maybe benefiting from the coverage versus the agent's duty to the insurance company.
Tricky. Do you stay quiet? Tell the carrier right away, potentially leaving the client high and dry.
Or is there a better way? That's the core issue.
Right. Step two, gather information. What would the agent need to find out?
They need to look really carefully at the original application, understand the carrier's rules about rescinding policies approved in error, and check any state regulations that might apply to this kind of situation.
Okay. Then step three, consider alternatives. We touched on a few. Ignoring it.
Which seems easiest short term, but ethically questionable, right? Dishonest.
Yeah.
Could blow up later if a claim happens.
Telling just the carrier.
Fulfills the duty to the company, maybe, but could really hurt the client.
Talking directly to the client?
Most transparent, maybe, but could cause a lot of anxiety.
So step four, making the decision, what does the course suggest as the most ethical route here?
It leans towards the agent first talking it over confidentially with a supervisor or maybe the compliance folks at the carrier.
Get some internal guidance.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Don't go rogue. Then work with the carrier to figure out the best way to approach the client. Maybe see if there are other coverage options they do qualify for.
Before potentially losing the incorrect policy.
Right. It tries to balance honesty with protecting the client's interests as much as possible.
And step five, reflection. Learning from it. What would the agent think about afterwards?
They might think, you know, how did this error happen in the first place? Were there warning signs missed? What does this teach me about checking applications carefully, about communicating with the carrier? It's about getting better ethically.
It's really interesting how these frameworks and models provide structure for tough situations. Now, let's shift gears a bit. The materials also talk a lot about state regulations. Since insurance is mostly state regulated, that must mean things vary quite a bit.
It definitely does. Rules can be different state by state, which adds complexity, especially for agents working in multiple states. But the course points out that even with the variations, there are common threads. Most states regulate certain core things to promote ethical conduct.
Like what? What are these common elements we see across states?
Well, pretty much everywhere you need a license to sell insurance, and you have to do continuing education to keep it.
And ethics training is usually part of that.
Almost always, yeah. A standard requirement. Plus, many states have suitability rules, especially for things like life insurance and annuities. Agents need a reasonable basis to believe their recommendation fits the client's situation.
Okay. What else?
Disclosure requirements are big. Agents need to be upfront about how they get paid, their ties to insurance companies, and the key features of the products they're selling.
Transparency again.
Exactly. And every state bans unfair trade practices. Things like lying about a policy, twisting.
What's twisting again?
That's persuading someone to drop a policy and buy a new one when it's actually worse for them. Unethical.
Got it. And rebating, offering kickbacks.
Right. Offering unauthorized stuff to get someone to buy, also banned. And state insurance departments do market conduct exams to check if companies and agents are playing by the rules.
Sounds like a lot of oversight. The materials also mention this trend towards best interest standards, especially for annuities and life insurance. How's that different from just suitability?
Best interest is a step up, ethically speaking. Suitability means the product is generally appropriate. Best interest means the agent has to actively put the client's interests first, ahead of their own or the company's. It's closer to a fiduciary duty.
And what does that look like in practice? What are the elements of a best interest standard?
The course lists several key things. Acting with reasonable prudence, putting a client's financial interest first, no misleading info.
Okay.
full transparency about their role and compensation, explaining the products considered, basing recommendations strictly on client needs.
And even referring elsewhere if needed.
Yes, even being willing to say, hey, this product I sell isn't the best fit. Maybe you should look over here. That's a big commitment.
It really does sound like a higher bar. Now let's talk about something really important. Vulnerable clients. The materials really stress needing extra care here.
Absolutely. Some clients might be more easily influenced or have trouble understanding complex stuff. Think about the elderly maybe facing cognitive issues or on fixed incomes.
Or people with limited English, or maybe limited financial understanding.
Exactly. Or even someone going through a major life crisis, making big decisions under stress.
Yeah.
Extra vulnerability requires extra ethical awareness.
So what should agents do differently in those situations? What are some ethical best practices?
Well, the course suggests things like encouraging family involvement, but only with the clients, okay, of course.
Right.
Taking more time to explain things, using interpreters if there's a language barrier, providing simple written summaries.
Maybe scheduling follow-ups, especially after a crisis.
Yeah, give them time to process, make sure they understood. It's about ensuring they're truly making informed choices.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay, let's pivot now to ethics specific to different types of insurance, starting with health insurance. As the course says, this one feels particularly weighty because it directly impacts access to care, quality of life.
That's a huge point. Uh-huh. Health insurance isn't just about money. It's about well-being, sometimes survival. The ethical stakes feel higher.
So thinking about individual health plans, especially with all the ACA changes, what are the key ethical points for agents?
Transparency. Mm-hmm. Agents have a huge ethical duty to clearly explain everything. Policy exclusions, waiting periods, benefit limits.
Prescription drug rules.
Yeah.
Cost sharing, like deductibles and copays.
Network restrictions, whether the policy is guaranteed renewable. All of it needs to be crystal clear.
There's that case study about short-term plans that really drives this home, right?
Yes, exactly. The scenario is a young, healthy person needs temporary coverage. A short-term plan is way cheaper monthly than an ACA plan.
Tempting.
Very tempting. But the ethical agent doesn't just push the cheap option. They have to explain the downsides of short-term plans.
Right.
Like they usually don't cover pre-existing conditions. The benefits are less comprehensive. And crucially, if you get sick on a short-term plan, getting good coverage later might be tough.
And the financial risks if something major happens.
Right. The ethical approach is laying out both options, clearly stating the costs, the coverage limits, the risks of each. Full transparency.
It's about the trade-offs. What about helping people figure out subsidies on the marketplace? Any ethical pitfalls there?
Definitely. Agents need to help clients navigate eligibility honestly. Help them estimate income reasonably. Understand the risks of getting it wrong.
And make sure clients aren't, you know, fibbing to get subsidies they don't qualify for.
Exactly. Honesty and accuracy are key.
And health status, pre-existing conditions, that adds another layer, especially with non-ACA plans.
It does. With ACA plans, pre-existing conditions are covered, but agents still need to help clients check if their doctors and drugs are in-network or on the formulary.
Right.
But with non-ACA plans, like short-term or fixed indemnity, the ethical duty is even stronger. Agents must clearly explain any medical underwriting, any exclusions for pre-existing conditions. Never let a client hide health info on an application.
And keep good records of those conversations.
Essential ethical practice.
Yeah.
Document everything.
Okay, let's switch to group health insurance. Here, the ethics seem to involve balancing the employer's interests. They're usually the direct client with the employees who rely on the coverage.
That's the tightrope, yeah. The employer pays the bills, but the employees are the ones using the insurance. Ethical agents have a duty to both.
So looking at the employer side first, what are the ethical must-dos there?
Transparency on costs and benefits is huge. Employers need agents to help them understand premiums, cost sharing, claims projections for self-funded plans, admin fees, potential rate hikes.
All of it.
Clear, unbiased projections. And while the legal definition of fiduciary duty can be fuzzy, ethically, agents should act as if they have a duty to the employees, the plan participants. Put their interests first.
The course mentioned level-funded plans as an example here. Can you unpack the ethics around those?
Sure. Level-funded plans can look attractive to employers. Maybe lower upfront costs, chance of a refund if claims are low.
But there are risks?
Big risks. Rates can jump if claims are high. And there's that controversial practice called lasering.
Where they might single out high-cost employees.
Right. Restrict coverage for them. So the ethical agent has to explain both sides, the potential upside and the potential downside, including the risks like lasering, the impact on employees with health issues. Full transparency is non-negotiable.
And for the employees themselves in group plans, what are the agent's ethical duties towards them?
Clear. Honest communication is number one, especially during open enrollment or employee meetings. Use plain language, no jargon.
Don't downplay the limitations.
Never. Give fair comparisons between options, be available to answer questions accurately, and privacy employee health info is confidential. Agents must respect that boundary with the employer.
The ACA brought in compliance rules for group plans, too. Agents have an ethical role there.
Absolutely. Agents need to know the ACA rules inside out and make sure their employer clients do, too, like providing the summary of benefits and coverage of the SBC.
Right, those standardized summaries.
Ethical agents make sure employers provide them, use them to help employees compare plans fairly, and don't say anything that contradicts the SBC. Keep clients updated on changes, too.
Okay, now, special needs populations or other vulnerable folks within health insurance. The ethical bar must be even higher here.
Definitely. Take families with kids who have special health care needs. Huge challenges. Ethical agents need to learn about things like CHIP or Medicaid waivers in their state.
Understand how those public programs work with private insurance.
Right. Help families check networks for needed specialists. Think about continuity of care. It's complex.
That autism services case study really showed the complexity, didn't it?
It did. Well, the ethical agent there had to explain differences in state rules for autism coverage, talk about specific therapies like ABA, check provider networks carefully, look at coordination with school services, potential out-of-pocket costs.
Even Medicaid waivers. It's really tailored guidance.
Highly tailored, comprehensive guidance. That's the ethical standard.
And for clients managing chronic conditions, their insurance choices are critical.
So critical. Ethical agents dig into prescription drug coverage, especially specialty drugs, prior authorizations. Check networks for specialists. Look at coverage for related therapies. Explain appeal rights if services are denied. It's about the whole picture of managing that condition.
What about claims? Does the agent's ethical duty stop once the policy is sold?
Not at all. While the carrier handles the claim, the ethical agent supports the client. Explain the process, help with communication, assist with paperwork.
But also set realistic expectations.
Yes, and ethically discourage clients from, you know, exaggerating claims. Explain concepts like depreciation if it applies. Be supportive but honest.
And if there's a coverage dispute, a denied claim.
That's tough. The agent needs to explain the denial honestly, even if it's bad news, but without undermining the carrier if the denial seems correct based on the policy. Help a client understand why. Explain appeal rights, maybe immediate communication.
Let's talk conflicts of interest in health insurance. How agents get paid can create these, right?
It's inherent in the system, often. Commissions can vary between products.
Okay.
So ethical agents are transparent about how they're paid when it's relevant.
And crucially, recommend based on need, not commission size.
Absolutely. Base recommendations on what's best for the client. Decline incentives from carriers if they could cloud their judgment. Focus on long-term trust, not short-term gain.
That comparison scenario, marketplace ACA plan versus a non-ACA plan with a higher commission, really makes the point. Ethics demands recommending the suitable plan, regardless of payout.
Precisely. And beyond pay, it's about broad disclosure who they are, who they represent, any significant relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And in the digital age, ethics extends to data privacy, transparency, and telehealth advice, ethical marketing, and lead generation.
The materials wrap up this section with two really good case studies. One on moving from group to individual coverage,
highlighting potential gaps and disadvantages in the individual market.
And another on Medicare Advantage network limits,
balancing that desire for low premiums with making sure the client's actual doctors are covered. Both require careful ethical navigation.
Definitely a lot to think about in health insurance ethics. Okay, when we come back, we'll shift to life insurance and annuities products with really long-term consequences.
Looking forward to it.
We'll be right back.
Puss.
Welcome back to our deep dive into insurance ethics. We just covered the complexities in health insurance. Now let's tackle life insurance and annuity products. The materials really stress these often involve very long-term decisions and demand a high level of trust.
That's absolutely right. Life insurance protects families financially after a death. Annuities provide retirement income. These decisions impact people for potentially decades, even generations. So the agent's ethical responsibility here is, well, significant.
And the foundation for ethical practice here seems to be needs-based selling, making sure the recommendation genuinely fits the client's financial situation and goals.
Exactly. It's not just about finding a product to sell. It requires really understanding the client's whole financial picture. A thorough needs analysis isn't just good practice. It's an ethical must.
What does that analysis involve?
It means looking carefully at their current finances, income, assets, debts, existing insurance, identifying their specific goals, income replacement for survivors, retirement funding, estate planning, maybe special needs planning.
And considering things like risk tolerance, time horizons.
Yes, risk tolerance, how long until they need the money, liquidity needs both now and later. It's comprehensive.
And ethical agents document this whole process carefully.
Absolutely. Good documentation shows the why behind the recommendation, protects everyone, and ensures clarity.
We talked about the trend towards best interest standards in health insurance. Is that happening in life and annuities too?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Many states are adopting these higher standards, requiring agents to act with diligence, care, skill, prudence, always putting the client's financial interests first.
Ahead of their own commission or the company's interests?
That's the core of it. Avoid recommendations that benefit the agent more than the client.
The materials contrast pushing hot products versus a client-centered approach.
Right. An unethical agent might push whatever pays the highest commission right now, whether it fits the client or not. A best interest standard says no, focus solely on what's best for the client's long-term financial health.
There's that case study comparing term life versus permanent life that illustrates this well, right?
Yes.
Yes.
A 35-year-old client, young kids, needs income replacement during working years. Limited budget. Heard whole life is a good investment.
Okay.
The ethical agent first figures out how much coverage is needed for how long, then clearly explains the difference between term and perm, especially the premium difference, discusses how the savings from term could be invested elsewhere, acknowledges the interest in whole life, but educates on its typical uses, presents multiple options transparently.
And makes a recommendation based on the client's actual needs and budget.
Exactly. Educate and empower. Don't just sell.
And since these products can be complex, full disclosure and making sure the client really understands is key.
Absolutely paramount. Ethical agents go beyond the minimum required disclosures. For life insurance, explain guaranteed versus non-guaranteed elements, cash value growth, loan provisions, tax implications.
And for annuities.
Detail surrender charges, interest rates, guaranteed and current. Payout options, death benefits, taxes, rider costs, limits on accessing funds. Leave no stone unturned.
With all that complexity, how do agents explain it clearly without just overwhelming people?
Good question. Ethical agents use strategies. Layering information starts simple, add detail, use different methods, verbal, written summaries, visuals, analogies.
And check for understanding.
Crucially. Ask the client to explain it back in their own words. Encourage involving other trusted advisors, accountants, lawyers.
Transparency also means disclosing the agent's own interest, right? Compensation.
Yes, critical point.
Yeah.
Disclose significant ties to carriers, any ownership in recommended services, and especially compensation structures if they could create a conflict.
That variable insurance product disclosure case study seems to highlight just how much disclosure might be needed for complex products.
It does. With something like variable universal life, the ethical agent ensures the client gets and understands the prospectus, explains both insurance and investment risks, reviews all fees, discloses their own compensation, how it might differ for other products.
Documents everything. Suggests talking to a tax advisor.
It's about making sure the client is as fully informed as humanly possible. No surprises.
Okay, what about policy replacements? Swapping an old policy for a new one. The materials say be extra careful here.
Extremely careful. Replacements can be good sometimes, but they carry big risks. Surrender charges on the old policy, new commissions potentially motivating the agent, losing valuable old policy features, new contestability periods, possible tax issues.
So before recommending a replacement, the agent needs to do a really thorough, objective comparison.
Absolutely. Compare everything side by side. Premiums, death benefits, cash values, features, riders, carrier financial strength, contestability, taxes, maybe health changes.
For both life insurance and annuities.
Yes. Detailed analysis documented clearly for the client.
The course gave an example, converting a term life policy.
Right. Client has a 10-year term policy ending soon. Premiums will jump. Still needs coverage, but health has declined.
Okay.
Ethical approach. Review the conversion options in the existing policy. Compare those rates to new coverage options. Explain the value of converting without new health questions, given their current health. Discuss the impact of a new contestability period versus potential savings. Maybe even consider a partial conversion or replacement.
Sounds like meticulous documentation and full disclosure are non-negotiable in replacements.
Absolutely critical. Use the required state forms. Make sure the client understands the comparison. Document the rationale. Even document if the client insists on a replacement the agent doesn't recommend.
Let's talk about sales illustrations. Helpful tools, but also risky if they create unrealistic expectations.
Very risky. Ethical use means being careful. Use the insurer's current assumptions correctly, but clearly state non-guaranteed parts aren't promises.
Show different scenarios, maybe, good and bad.
Yes. Show a range. Provide context. Tailor it to the client. Manage expectations about future changes. Schedule regular reviews of how the policy is actually performing against the illustration.
That universal life illustration case study projecting retirement income highlights the danger, right?
It does. Ethical agent shows different interest rate assumptions, explains how low rates could hurt performance, illustrates different premium payment options, discusses the impact of loans, explains the risk of the policy lapsing if loans get too big. Be realistic.
Fixed indexed annuities have their own illustration challenges with those complex crediting methods.
They do. Ethical agents provide historical context for the index, but stress past performance isn't predictive. Clearly explain how interest is credited in participation rates, caps, spreads. Give realistic income projections for riders, explaining the cost of those riders.
Different types of life and annuity products also bring specific ethical issues. Variable products involve investment risk.
Yes. So the agent must assess the client's risk tolerance accurately. Recommend suitable sub-accounts. Explain investment costs, volatility, market risk. Ensure they're properly licensed to sell securities products.
What about equity-indexed universal life, EIUL? Kind of a hybrid.
Needs extra care with transparency. Avoid unrealistic projections. Explain caps, participation rates, charges clearly. Ensure it's funded adequately to avoid lapse. Recommend only when suitable and the client understands it. Reinforce that the primary purpose is still the death benefit.
And policies with limited or no medical underwriting, like guaranteed issue.
Ethically, recommend those only when necessary due to health. Clearly explain the higher premiums compared to underwritten policies. Disclose limitations like graded death benefits or waiting periods.
Living benefits or accelerated death benefit riders need careful explanation too.
Definitely. Set realistic expectations about qualifying for them. Discuss how accessing benefits reduces the death benefit. Explain how they interact with other coverage, like long-term care insurance.
And the ethical duties don't end at the sale, right? Ongoing service is important.
Absolutely crucial. Ethical agents have processes for periodic policy reviews. Monitor performance. Reassess needs as life changes. Review beneficiaries.
Provide realistic updates if performance isn't matching illustrations.
Yes. And proactively discuss options if funding gaps appear. Present multiple solutions fairly.
That case study about the universal life funding gap really showed the need for proactive service.
It did. Ethical agent contacts the client, provides updated illustrations, presents options, explains why the gap occurred, makes a recommendation based on the client's current situation.
So ultimately, ethical sales in life and annuities seem to boil down to building long-term, trusting relationships.
Exactly. Continuous education, sensitivity to family dynamics, collaborating with other professionals like planners, accountants, attorneys, always prioritizing the client's best interests.
This has been really insightful for life and annuities. Okay, in our final section, we'll tackle the ethics involved in property and casualty insurance.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back after a quick pause.
Pause.
Welcome back for our final segment on insurance ethics. We've covered health, life, and annuities. Now, property and casualty, home, auto, business insurance. The materials point out a key difference. P&C deals with risks that might happen, unlike life insurance dealing with the certainty of death. How does that change the ethics?
It shifts the focus. In P&C, ethical concerns often revolve around making sure coverage is adequate if something does happen, handling claims fairly, making sure clients understand what's not covered, and being transparent about pricing. It's about balancing protection against potential losses with affordability.
And a big ethical responsibility seems to be clearly disclosing limitations and exclusions. P&C policies can be notoriously dense.
Absolutely crucial. Ethical agents need ways to make sure clients grasp not just the coverage, but the gaps. It's way more than just handing over the policy documents.
What are some best practices for ethical disclosure in P&C?
Providing clear, simple written summaries of key coverages and exclusions helps. Using plain language. Creating easy comparison guides when showing multiple options, focusing on coverage differences, not just price.
Being proactive about pointing out key limitations.
Yes, especially things relevant to the client-specific risks, things that counter common assumptions or changes from prior policies. And documentation is key notes on discussions, client sign-offs on key exclusions or declined coverages.
And using clear language is vital here too.
Absolutely. Avoid jargon. Use analogies and check for understanding. Ask clients to explain things back to make sure it clicked.
Okay, figuring out the right amount of coverage adequacy seems more subjective in P&C than life insurance. How do ethical agents handle that?
It takes judgment, but there's a process. For property, help clients understand insuring to full value replacement cost versus actual cash value and what that means at claim time.
Explain coinsurance penalties for being underinsured.
Yes, and think about business income needs beyond just fixing the building. For liability, it's about discussing potential claim severity and likelihood, relating limits to assets and future income at risk, talking about umbrella policies for extra protection.
That liability limits discussion seems really important given how high claims can go.
It is. Ethical agents talk through realistic worst-case scenarios, serious injuries, property damage. Explain how umbrella policies add that extra layer over home or auto limits. Analyze the client's specific exposures.
What about choosing deductibles? How do agents guide clients ethically there?
It's about helping them realistically assess what they can afford to pay out of pocket if there's a claim. Show the premium savings for higher deductibles. Discuss how deductibles work in different scenarios, multiple claims, etc., and explain how deductible choices might affect future rates or discounts.
Let's move to claims handling. The agent isn't the adjuster, but still has an ethical role.
A significant one. It's a balancing act, advocating for the client while maintaining a professional relationship with the carrier. Ethically, guide the client on filing, facilitate communication with the adjuster, help gather documents.
But also discourage exaggerating the claim.
Yes. Discourage misrepresentation. Ensure they understand concepts like depreciation if it applies. Be helpful, but maintain integrity.
That case study about the questionable liability claim highlights this balance.
It does. If a client's story seems off, the ethical agent gently reminds them about the need for truthfulness, reports the claim based on what the client says, but doesn't coach them or help hide details.
And if there's a coverage dispute, claim denied.
Again, complex. Explain the denial honestly, based on the policy, even if it's bad news. Avoid undermining the carrier if the denial seems valid. Help the client understand why. Explain appeal rights, maybe immediate communication.
Okay. Premium pricing in P&C. Lots of factors go into that. What are the ethics around transparency here?
Ethical agents try to provide reasonable transparency. Explain how things like credit-based insurance scores were allowed, claims history, property details, location safety features affect personal lines premiums.
And for businesses.
Discuss things like class codes, experience mods, loss control efforts, market conditions. Help the client understand the why behind the premium as much as possible.
That case study on credit scores impacting homeowners' premiums showed an agent needing to be informative, but also maybe an advocate.
Exactly. If a score drops due to hardship and premiums jump, the ethical agent explains why, explores options, checks if a carrier has exceptions for life events, maybe even shops around if the impact is severe.
Ethical discussions about premiums also mean talking about potential future increases and making sure clients get all eligible discounts.
That's right. Be upfront about factors that could raise rates later. Proactively identify all possible discounts, bundling, security systems, good driving, and help clients verify they're getting them.
What about when agents use comparative raters to get quotes from multiple companies? Any ethical considerations there?
Definitely. Ensure accurate, identical info is used for all carriers for a fair comparison. Adjust coverages for apples-to-apples protection levels. Compare not just price, but carrier financial strength and claims reputation.
Disclose differences in policy terms?
Yes, and explain any limitations of the quotes themselves, like they might be subject to final underwriting review.
It really sounds like ethical P&C practice comes down to being thorough, transparent, and acting in the client's best interest through all the details.
Precisely, and that includes proactively identifying potential coverage gaps.
Like flood or earthquake on a homeowner's policy.
Or cyber liability or professional liability for a business. Ethical agents point these out, explain the risks, and help clients decide whether to buy more coverage or use other risk management tactics.
That home-based business case study illustrated this while needing more than standard homeowners coverage.
Right. The ethical agent explains the homeowner's policy limits for business activities and presents options like a business endorsement or a separate policy.
What about complex risks needing specialized markets, like surplus lines?
Ethical agents know their limits and refer to specialists when needed. When using surplus lines, they must explain the differences in regulatory protection compared to standard admitted carriers. If discussing things like captives, provide full, unbiased info on the structure and obligations.
And the changing risk landscape, like cyber risk, new ethical challenges there.
Huge ones. Agents need to educate clients about cyber threats and how traditional policies often fall short. Present standalone cyber options. Discuss risk prevention measures.
That ransomware case study showed how standard coverage might not be enough.
Exactly. A basic cyber endorsement might not cover everything. Ethical agents explain those limits and present more comprehensive options.
Finally, ethics also applies to the agent's relationship with the insurance carriers.
Absolutely. Submit accurate underwriting info, even if it might raise the premium. Manage conflicts arising from carrier production goals or incentives. Always put the client first.
So building lasting client relationships in P&C, like elsewhere, hinges on consistently high ethical standards.
Totally. Regular reviews, risk management advice beyond just selling policies, fostering long-term trust as the client's needs evolve.
This has been a really thorough look at P&C ethics.
Okay,
in our final moments, let's just pull back and recap some overarching ethical themes that apply across all lines of insurance.
Good idea. Synthesize the key takeaways.
We'll wrap up right after this.
Pause.
Welcome back. As we wrap up our deep dive into insurance ethics, we've covered health, life, annuities, and P&C. And as the material stressed, there are some core ethical principles that really cut across everything.
Absolutely. And maybe the biggest one is just that fundamental commitment to being client-centered, putting the client's interests first, always, ahead of commissions, carrier relationships, sales targets. It's about building a career on trust and value.
And tied to that is transparency and informed consent. People need to truly understand what they're buying. The benefits, yes, but also the limits, exclusions, costs. That means clear, ongoing communication.
Verifying they actually understand. Documenting disclosures. It's essential. Professional competence is another huge one. The insurance world changes constantly. New rules, new products, new risks.
So ethical pros have to commit to lifelong learning.
Exactly. Keep skills sharp. And have the integrity to know when something is outside your expertise and refer to someone who does know.
The ethical frameworks we discussed earlier, utilitarianism, deontology, virtue ethics, they offer different ways to think through dilemmas, right?
Valuable perspectives, yeah.
Yeah.
Considering consequences, duties, character, relationships, especially with vulnerable clients, they help guide tough decisions.
And finally, the materials really hammer home that ethics isn't a one-time thing. It's an ongoing process.
It's a journey. Requires self-reflection. Using resources when you're unsure, and if you're in leadership, building a culture where ethics is truly valued and practiced every day.
What does building that culture involve?
Clear standards, systems that support ethical behavior, fair compensation that minimizes conflicts, leading by example, mentoring, making ethics part of the agency's DNA.
The course ends with those self-assessment questions, which seem like a great tool for professionals to reflect on their own practices.
Really practical. They prompt thinking about ensuring client understanding, managing conflicts, documenting decisions, identifying areas for improvement.
So for you, our listener, whether you're buying insurance or working in the industry, understanding these ethical commitments is really vital. It makes you a smarter consumer, a more responsible professional.
And ultimately, that shared understanding builds trust. When clients trust their insurance pros, the whole system works better. It strengthens the industry's role in providing that crucial financial security and peace of mind.
So a final thought to leave you with. The insurance world keeps changing, bringing new challenges. How will these core ethical principles we've talked about today be your compass in navigating whatever comes next? Something to reflect on. Thanks so much for joining us on this deep dive.
Thank you.